Time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitten Madness.
And here he goes, defense win championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Your host, Dejon Hughes.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. We're back with another week of Michigan sports. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and we're about to dive into an hour's long worth of talk about everything happening around the state, the Mitten State, that is, when it comes to sports. We got to talk about the Detroit Lions, what happened in their last game, the big matchup that they have coming up, and what they have to do and where they will need help if they want to find themselves in the NFL playoffs for a chance at that Super Bowl. Then we're going to get into the college game. We're going to talk about Western Michigan football. We're going to get into the bowl games and where some teams will be playing. And then we'll talk about college basketball with Michigan and Michigan State as that begins to heat up. And then we'll get into what's happening in Little Caesars Arena. We got to talk about the Red Wings, if they're going to be able to keep pace in the Atlantic Division and get themselves a playoff spot, or if they're going to end up falling behind again because they're not able to keep pace with a very hot division. And then we're going to touch over on the Detroit Pistons, who not only lead the Central Division in the NBA Eastern Conference, but they lead the entire NBA Eastern Conference with a whopping record with only two losses, holding on to their belt so far this year. They've done a fantastic job at remaining atop of the standings. But as you're listening to this, I'm actually enjoying some time in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. I recorded this extremely early this week, so if some of this seems outdated, I apologize in advance, but you got to enjoy life while it is here. So I'm actually not going to be watching too many sports this week, so hopefully you guys will be able to catch me up when I get back in on the backside of next week. But we also will be ending out the show the same way that we end out our show every single week, with our picks, which we got some good matchups selected to get into all of that. As I mentioned, I'll be enjoying a great weekend that won't have anything to do with sports, really, and will just be a ton of fun for me. So now that we've gotten through the obligatory intro, we're going to get right into it. The Detroit Lions have quite the task in front of them over the next few weeks after their absolutely dominating win over the Cowboys on Thursday, 44-30, which we'll get into in just a moment. They have elevated their record to 8-5 on the season, which is third in the NFC North and currently sits best for eighth in the entire NFC conference. If you know anything about the playoffs, the eighth seed is the first team out. The number one seed gets a bye, and then 2 through 7 play in the quarterfinals before things play themselves out. So the Lions currently are on the outside looking in when it comes to the playoffs. So we'll talk about what happened last week, what they have to do in their big matchup coming this week, and what else has to happen in order for them to find themselves in the playoffs. We'll start with, well, what happened last week. The Lions played Thursday night. Primetime football set a viewing record on Amazon Prime for a Thursday night football game, which is a record in its own. The Lions have been setting records left and right. They currently lead the league in points four as well, which we'll get to in the standings in just a moment. Thursday night on Prime, Dak Prescott came out 31 of 47 for 376 passing yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. Javonte Williams on the ground, 17 carries, 6-7 rushing yards, and a TD. CeeDee Lamb, 6 receptions, 121 yards. James Houston had 1 sack, and Deron Bland had 7 tackles, 4 of them being solo. Jared Goff goes 309, 25 of 34, which we talked a little bit about this game last week and how well the Lions were able to play. Brandon Aubrey had himself a day. Ryan Flournoy was amazing for Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. So the Lions took care of business last night, so we won't dive too deep into this game, but Jared Goff did have 309 passing yards 25 of 34 and one touchdown. David Montgomery, 60 rushing yards for six carries and a touchdown as well. Jack Campbell led the defense, 12 tackles, six of them being solo. They had three sacks from Al-Quaid and Muhammad. So that's how they were able to jump out and grab that 14-point victory, which was huge. Like I said, bumping them up to 8-5. They're 5-2 when playing at Ford Field. That keeps them in the fight. In the fight is the key thing here. And mentioning the fight, let's go over to those standings real quick. We're first going to look at the conference. So the Rams currently sit atop of the conference with the one seed at 10-3. Right behind them, a half game behind, are the Green Bay Packers at 9-3-1. Philadelphia Eagles are 8-5. Tampa Bay is 7-6. Those are your conference division leaders. They are the top four seeds. They're locked into the playoffs. The Seattle Seahawks, well, that's if they win. None of these teams have solidified their divisions yet, but division winners are automatically into the playoffs. The Seahawks, 5th at 10-3. The 49ers and the Bears are 6-7 at 9-4, and that's where the Lions come in at 8-5. And then you have the Panthers, 7-6, Cowboys, 6-6-1, and the Vikings, 5-8, who are all still in contention for playoff spots in the NFC. Atlanta, Arizona, New Orleans, Washington, and New York Giants are all already eliminated from playoff contention. Over in the AFC, the Jets, Browns, Raiders, and Titans are all on the outside looking in, and their seasons are going to end in a couple of weeks. So what needs to happen in order for the Lions to make it to the playoffs? Well, first off, I think we can all confidently say that they have to win out, right? They have to win out. Who is left on their schedule? They have the Rams coming up Sunday, which we're going to dive deep into that game, and we'll also be picking that game later on in the show. Then you got the Steelers coming up next week. That's going to be a huge game. They're going to have to win that one. Then they close out with the Vikings on Christmas Day. Going to be streamed on Netflix. And then the Bears will be their final game of the year. They're going to have to win all four of those if they even want a chance at the playoffs. But then that's where things get spicy, right? Because then you got to look at the Seahawks over in their division. The Seahawks have games against the Colts, Rams, Panthers, and 49ers. You need them to drop maybe two of those games. Probably you want them to drop to the Rams, Panthers, or 49ers. You want them to lose two of those three. If they lose to the Colts this weekend, that's just extra help for you. But in reality, you want them to lose those NFC games to give yourself a boost. So you got a chance with Seattle if you win out your games. Maybe even if you lose to the Rams, you might be able to get some help from Seattle if they end up losing out in some of those games. What about San Francisco, who's technically a lot closer to you? Well, they have to play the Titans, the Colts, the Bears, and the Seahawks. So you're looking for them to lose to the Bears and the Seahawks if you're able to win out, or maybe even lose that game to the Los Angeles Rams. That puts you in great position to end up stealing one of those late positions or late playoff spots, 6-7, somewhere around there. You know what I'm saying? 6-7. Okay, I'm done. But then what else is happening? The Bears are also in there, which you have already beaten the Bears once this year. And you know that you have to play the Bears again. So if you're able to sweep the Bears, if the Bears are swept by the Packers and maybe they lose to the 49ers, you just might find yourself in the playoffs if you're able to win a couple of games. The Lions are not far from the playoffs, but they're not close to the playoffs either. They need a whole lot of help, and it all starts with themselves. They have to win the games that are in front of them. Five losses, unprecedented for the Lions in the last couple of years. Mark my words, last couple of years. They've been great the last couple of years, atop of the NFC North, one of the top teams in the entire NFC. And this year, they have been somewhat humbled, brought back to earth, and reminded that, hey, this is a tough division. This is a tough conference. This is a tough league, and you have to be ready to play with the best of the best if you want to survive. What has bitten the Lions this year is the fact that they won the NFC North last year. When you win the NFC North, there are certain, the schedule plays out in a way to where you have to play the division leader from every other conference that you are not playing their entire conference from. Maybe we'll go into a whole episode talking about the NFL schedule and how it plays out. But just know that the Lions' schedule is a little bit tougher than some of the other teams in the NFC North and some of the other teams in the NFC. So that is part of the reason why you see them losing a few more games this year. But they do still have an opportunity to steal a playoff spot away when you have the Bears playing a bunch of teams in the NFC. You have the 49ers playing teams in the NFC. The Seahawks playing teams in the NFC. You need those teams to lose games while you win games, and things could turn around for you quickly. So do not think that you're just the same old Lions and that this is going to play out the way it has before, because that could possibly not be true. There's a very good chance that you're able to squeeze into the playoffs, and once you get there, that's all that matters. You just got to be able to get to the playoffs. Once you get to the dance, anything can happen. I repeat, anything can happen once you get to the dance, because that is where all the magic happens. It's a 0-0 record, 0-0 ball game, and it's all about who wins the one game in front of them for that week. So have some solace in that, and hopefully the Lions are able to take care of business. Speaking of taking care of business, let's talk a little bit about their next game, which we will dive a little bit deeper into later on in the show. They're going to be playing the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams are the number one team in the NFC, right? 10-3. They're 5-1 at home. Fox, 4:25 on Sunday. A win here would be huge for the Lions. First off, a win here puts them in fantastic position, because the Rams still have to go on to play the Seahawks and the 49ers. So if you can pick up a win there, and one of those teams, maybe the Rams, maybe the 49ers, maybe the Seahawks, loses those games, that gives you a chance to bump up as well. And I'm sorry, but beating the number one team in your conference gives you a huge motivational boost, makes you feel like you are playing at an all-time high, and makes you feel like you can do anything and beat anyone. So the confidence boost that could come from this game alone is huge for the Lions. So they have to have their heads screwed on straight. They have to come into this game ready and prepared, and they have to come into this game executing. You can listen, you can implement, but if you do not execute, none of it matters. That is what all of this really comes back to, is the fact that they have to execute. They have to go out onto the field and do what does them best. Go out and perform. Make sure that your pass catchers are getting open and catching the ball, opening up those running lanes for Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, and also protecting your quarterback, making sure that Jared Goff has time to make the right reads and put the ball on the money. I think the Lions have a great chance because their defense has been strong, but we do know Matthew Stafford is poised and ready to go. We do know that Matthew Stafford has his eyes locked on revenge after the last time he played the Lions and it didn't turn out the way that he wanted it to. He hated losing to the Lions after all the things that he's done for the Lions. So he's going to be coming full-fledged. And then you got a two-headed monster at running back between Kyren Williams and Blake Corum, who has woken up in the recent weeks. Ladd McConkey back doing his thing. But you know Puka Nacua is that guy and still leads their team in receptions. So this is going to be star-studded offense versus star-studded offense. Matthew Stafford versus Jared Goff. Two guys playing against their former teams. Jahmyr Gibbs against Kyren Williams. Amon-Ra St. Brown against Puka Nacua. Jameson Williams against Ladd McConkey. Brock Wright and Isaac Tesla against Omar Gaskin. This is going to be a blockbuster game full of offense. It's going to come down to which team is going to be able to make a stop. And maybe it's going to be the Rams. When you look at points for the Lions, lead the league in points for 394. They're scoring points in bunches, but they give up points in bunches as well. 304 points against for the Detroit Lions. On the mean side, on the opposite side, the Rams are great. 379 points for. So they're not too far behind the Lions, but they're far ahead when it comes to points against at just 227, one of the lowest points against in the league. So the Lions are going to have to come out and be able to put points on the board and score with a team that can score with the best of the best against a defense that doesn't really give up points. That is a hard feat for any team, let alone the Lions. They're going to have to come out and make some stops and really put the Rams in some uncomfortable situations if they want to be successful. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about college football, Western Michigan Broncos, some bowl games, and then we're going to get into college basketball with the Wolverines and the Spartans. But that's more Mid-Madness after the break on 95.3 The Ticket.
Hi, I'm Kathy Bates. People sometimes ask what I've learned in my two-time battle with cancer. One is that with the right treatment, you can beat it. Two is that it's not just cancer you're battling. You also need to anticipate LE, lymphedema, a disease that can leave those who undergo cancer treatment with a lifetime of swelling and pain. If you're facing a cancer diagnosis, discuss lymphedema with your doctor. With knowledge and action, we can learn and live. Learn more at lymphaticnetwork.org.
Welcome back into Mid-Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to get into some college sport action. We're going to be talking about both college football and college basketball in this segment. We'll start with football as there is not as much to dive into with this portion of the segment. We'll start with the Western Michigan Broncos. They did it. They made it happen. They went out and took down the Miami of Ohio Redhawks to claim the MAC Conference Championship. They are Mid-American Conference Football Champions, and this is how it went down. Henry Hessen had 107 passing yards, 7 of 20 for one touchdown. And then Jordan Brunson had 59 rushing yards on 14 carries for one touchdown. Cam Perry, 101 receiving yards on 7 receptions. Eli Blakely had one sack. He also had 15 tackles, 9 of them being solo to lead the Redhawks. Meanwhile, Brock Lowry goes 8 of 13 for 111 passing yards. Jalen Buckley was an absolute monster for the Broncos in this game. 193 rushing yards on 19 carries and 2 touchdowns. And then you got Michael Brescia, who had 47 receiving yards on 2 receptions. Nadam Tucker, 2.5 sacks. And Joshua Franklin, 9 tackles, 3 of them being solo. The Broncos also went out and swept the postseason awards as Offensive Player of the Year went to quarterback Brock Lowry. And then Defensive Player of the Year went to defensive end Nadam Tucker. And then Coach of the Year went to Lance Taylor. So the Broncos have been on quite the winning streak. In fact, there wasn't a single point in this game that they felt the Redhawks had more than a 46.9% chance to win the game. Everything else was in favor of the Broncos as they pretty much ran away with this one. 397 total yards for the Broncos in comparison to 272 for Miami of Ohio. 1 turnover for the Redhawks, none for the Broncos. 18 first downs apiece, 4 penalties apiece, 50 yards against the Redhawks, 37 against the Broncos. 6 of 15 on third down for Miami of Ohio, 4 for 15 for Western. Western went 1 for 4 on fourth down, 0 for 3 for the Redhawks. This game did go down at Ford Field. Jalen Buckley opened things up early in the first quarter with a 67-yard touchdown run. Jordan Brunson followed that up with a 1-yard touchdown run of his own. Then Palmer Domski had a 27-yard field goal to put Western up 10-6 after Ziobon had missed the PAT. Domski then had a 31-yard field goal and a 50-yard field goal in the second quarter, extending Western's lead to 10 before halftime. Jalen Buckley then comes out and had a 64-yard touchdown run in the third quarter, pushing the lead to 23-6 before Cole Weaver caught a 6-yard touchdown pass from Henry Hessen in the fourth quarter to cut the lead to 10. That was the last points of the game. Western wins 23-13. No questions in this game whatsoever that they were going to win it. And they are now looking forward to their bowl game. Speaking of bowl games, let's run through what the bowl games will look like. Starting with the college football playoffs, starting Friday, December 19th, you got Oklahoma and Alabama, who have the rights to move on and play the number one seed. Then you have Miami taking on Texas A&M on Saturday, December 20th, along with Tulane and Ole Miss taking each other on. And then James Madison will go on the road against Oregon. And then the quarterfinal will be on the 31st. and January 1st. Quarterfinal on the 31st will be the Goodyear Cotton Bowl between Texas A&M winner and Ohio State. You have the Capital One Orange Bowl. These next three are on the 1st, which will be the James Madison Oregon winner against Texas Tech, who's the 4th seed. The Rose Bowl will be Alabama-Oklahoma winner against Indiana. And then you have the All-State Sugar Bowl would be Tulane and Ole Miss against Georgia. Semifinals will be on January 8th. You have the Fiesta Bowl. Then January 9th will be the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. And then the championship will be Monday, January 19th. Washington will play Boise State in the Bucked Up L.A. Bowl. And we're only going to run through important games to the Big Ten and those of us here in Michigan. Kennesaw State will take on Western Michigan Friday, December 19th in the Myrtle Beach Bowl. We also have UNLV taking on Ohio in the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl. Central Michigan will take on Northwestern in the Game Above Sports Bowl at Ford Field. New Mexico will take on Minnesota in the Rate Bowl. Penn State and Clemson will play in the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl. Miami, Ohio will take on Fresno State in the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl. Tennessee will play Illinois in the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl. USC and TCU in the Valero Alamo Bowl. The ReliaQuest Bowl will be Iowa and Vanderbilt. Michigan and Texas will play in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. That will be 3 p.m. ABC. That one's going to be on December 31st. You also have Nebraska and Utah SRS Distribution Las Vegas Bowl from Allegiant Stadium at that same day at 3:30 p.m. Those are the important games for us happening in this area in bowl game season. Congratulations to the Western Michigan Broncos. A fantastic regular season. They capped it with the MAC championship. Now a chance for them to go out and win the Myrtle Beach Bowl against Kennesaw State, a team in their second year at the Division I level. So that's huge to see two teams making their way and starting to pave a path for success in the future. We're going to switch over to the land inside. We're stepping on the hardwood for college basketball. We'll start with the Michigan State Spartans, who unfortunately just took their first loss. They took down Colgate 80-69 to open up the season, a 3-point win over Arkansas 69-66. Then they took care of San Jose State 79-60. Dominated Kentucky 83-66, 12th ranked team in the country at the time. Took down Detroit Mercy 84-56. Beat East Carolina 89-56. Also dominated 16th ranked North Carolina 74-58. Dominated Iowa 71-52 before losing a 6-point game to Duke 66-60 just earlier this week. Domination has been the name of the game for college basketball in the state of Michigan. Michigan State continuing to prove that they're one of the best teams in the country, one of the best teams in the Big Ten, off to a hot start. They're 1-0 in the conference. They're 8-1 in they're 8-1 in the entire season overall. They set a half game behind UCLA, who has already played two conference games and is currently 2-0, but they're 7-2 on the year. Michigan State has played Penn State coming up this Saturday. Things seem to be in favor of Michigan State, an 81.1% chance for Michigan State to come out on top, but they will have to take care of Caden Mingo, who's averaging 15.4 points per game. Penn State in their last five beat Boston University, Sacred Heart, and Campbell, lost to Providence by 12, and also lost to Indiana by a hefty margin of 41. So it does not look like Penn State will be able to get their first Big Ten win against Michigan State, but only time will tell. That game will be on Fox, well, technically BTN or the Fox app, at noon on as soon as we're done talking here. So you'll be able to check that out and see if Michigan State has what it takes to keep their Big Ten record undefeated and continue to move up in the ranks. They're currently ninth in the country. After the game against Penn State, they have a home game against Toledo, Oakland, and Cornell before hopping back into or these may even be neutral sites as well. Let's take a look. The Toledo game will be a home game at the Breslin Center. The Oakland game will also be, that will be a basketball in the D. That game will be at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit, so that will be a neutral game site and then they will take on Cornell at the Breslin Center. So that will be a home game. Three games in the state of Michigan before they have to go on the road to take on Nebraska at the start of the new year on January 2nd as they hop back into Big Ten play. So as they've already taken their first loss, there could be a while before they take another one. So we'll keep an eye on Michigan State over the next couple of weeks, but they look like they're pretty much hitting the cruise control button for the next couple of weeks while still looking to get better as they get into Big Ten play. The other team in the state that's playing in the Big Ten and having crazy success in basketball are the Michigan Wolverines. They started the year with a 121-78 victory over Oakland. Then things got rough. They beat Wake Forest by one, 85-84. Took down TCU, 67-63. And then things have re-blossomed for them. They took down Middle Tennessee State, 86-61. San Diego State, 94-54. Auburn, 102-72. Gonzaga, 101-61. Rutgers, 101-60. And then Villanova, 89-61. Michigan has been routing everyone that steps in their path, and it's all contributed to what Coach Dusty May says is defense and depth. They go out and they force teams to have a terrible shooting day. They force teams to take the worst possible shots that they can get in a possession, and then they rebound the ball well. Villanova was coming into their game against Michigan rebounding 44.5% of all of their misses on the offensive end. They grabbed only six offensive rebounds, which was good for 14% of their offensive shots. That is how you dominate a game. That is how you show a team that you're not ready to compete with us. They went out and they handled this game from beginning to end with no questions in the way. Their next matchup is going to be against Maryland on Saturday or later today. It's going to be 8 p.m. on Fox. You can check that out. Then they got LaSalle and McNeese. Those both look to be home games for the Wolverines. The game against McNeese will be a home game. The game against LaSalle will also be a home game. And then they're going to hop back into Big Ten play against USC at home on January 2nd before going on the road against Penn State on the 6th. So Michigan looks like they're going to continue their success as they started the year 9-0. They're 1-0 in the Big Ten, only half game behind UCLA. We'll continue to check in on the basketball success over the next couple of weeks as the college football season comes to an end. But when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking Pistons and Red Wings as we step inside Little Caesars Arena when we come back from the break with more Mid-Madness here on 95.3 The Tick.
As an organ donor, your story doesn't have to end. The good in you can live on. In fact, you could save up to 8 lives with your gifts. Your heart could keep beating. Your kidneys could keep filtering. And your intestines could keep on digesting for others. And that's not all. You can improve the lives of 50 more people as an eye and tissue donor, restoring sight and health. And you're not just helping out the person receiving the transplant. You're touching whole families with your life-saving gift. Register in minutes. Just go to organdonor.gov. You'll be happy you did. And just maybe, someone else will be happy too. Sign up today. Go to organdonor.gov. It saves lives. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
People start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org, and in 3 minutes, you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back into Mid-Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to step inside of Little Caesars Arena and talk about our professional sports teams that do battle inside of one of the greatest stadiums in Michigan, the Detroit Pistons and the Detroit Red Wings. We'll start with the Pistons this week. Looking first at our team leaders, Cade Cunningham, 27.5 points per game on 45.2% shooting from the field, 36.4 minutes, 9.3 assists as well with just 3.9 turnovers. Jalen Duren leads the team with 65.5% shooting from the field, 18.8 per game in 29.2 minutes. Jalen Duren also has 11.5 rebounds, 7.3 on the defensive end, 4.2 offensively. Ron Holland has 1.7 steals and 1.4 turnovers in 21 minutes. And Isaiah Stewart, 2 blocks, 0.2 steals and 6 rebounds a game. The team averages 118.7 points per game, 46.8 rebounds, and 26.1 assists. Tobias Harris is now day-to-day, and Bobby Klintman still out for your Pistons. Taking a look at the standings in the NBA, looking at the conference first, the Pistons sitting at the top at 19-5. The Knicks are 17-7. The Celtics 15-9. Magic 15-10. Raptors 15-11. 76ers 13-10. That's your top six. The Cavs, Heat, Hawks, and Bucks make your 7-10. In the Western Conference, the Thunder, Lakers, Nuggets, Rockets, Spurs, and Timberwolves are your top six. Phoenix Suns, Golden State Warriors, Memphis Grizzlies, and Portland Trail Blazers make up the 7-10 in the Western Conference. Getting closer to the division, caring only really about the Eastern Conference Central Division. Pistons obviously at the top at 19-5. 5.5 games back are the Cavaliers at 14-11. 9.5 games back are the Bucks at 10-15. So are the Bulls at 9-14, and then 13 games back are the Pacers at 6-18. So the Pistons have done their due diligence. They not only lead the Eastern Central Division, but they also lead the entire Eastern Conference. They sit only behind the Oklahoma City Thunder. They sit 4 games behind the Thunder, who are 23-1. Only one loss on their record so far this year. They're still on a 10-game win streak in their last 10, 15 overall on the season. 15-game win streak is unreal as they continue to dominate. They have 123 points for, only giving up 106. Meanwhile, the Pistons are 118.7 points per game, but only giving up 113.3. So that plus 5.4 is doing well for them in being able to win some games. Taking a peek at their most recent schedule, since we last talked, they dropped a game to the Bucks, 113-109, which is a big stinger, but they bounced back against the Trailblazers. 6-point win, 122-116. And then they took down the Bucks, 124-112, exacting that revenge. I wasn't able to record before the Friday game against the Hawks, so we're not sure how that played out, but they did beat the Hawks 120-112 already this year, and they beat the Hawks 99-98. One of those games at Little Caesars Arena and the other down in Atlanta. This game also going to be in Little Caesars Arena, the third of the four that they will play against each other this year. They're giving the Pistons, as of now, a 58.9% chance to win this game, barring any injuries or crazy changes happening. Pistons 4-1 in their last 5. That lone loss to the Bucks. Meanwhile, the Hawks are 2-3 in their last 5. Losses to Denver, the Clippers, and the Pistons, while also beating the Wizards, and then they beat the 76ers in double overtime. So the Pistons have their work cut out in front of them, but not seeing anything that they shouldn't be able to compete with over the next couple of games. They have Boston coming up on Monday, which will be huge, one that they'll definitely be keeping their eye on, and one that they're going to be trying to extract revenge as they lost to Boston back on November 26, which was the end of their winning streak back then, before playing Dallas and Charlotte. So the Pistons, once again, can still remain atop of the Eastern Conference and the Central Division over the next couple of weeks as they have some favorable games in front of them, taking on Atlanta, the one questionable team, and Boston could give them an L, and then Dallas and Charlotte. We'll touch in with them again next week, shifting over to another team that calls them home. Well, not them, Little Caesars Arena home, are the Detroit Red Wings. The Red Wings are coming into this week on a couple of wins. Last time we talked, they had lost 6-5 to the Blue Jackets. Then they came back and beat the Kraken 4-3. Then they took down the Canucks 4-0. So they currently sit at 16-11-3. And we're going to see where that lands them in the rankings. or the rankings, the standings. Looking at the division, they're third in the Atlantic Division. Tampa Bay Lightning lead the division with 36 points at 17-11-2. They're tied with the Boston Bruins, who are 18-13-0 for 36 points as well. Red Wings third, just 1 point behind them at 16-11-3. They hold a 2-point lead on the Canadiens, who are 15-11-3. The Maple Leafs are 14-11-4 for 32 points. And the Florida Panthers, 14-12-2 for 30 points, who are tied with the Senators, who are 13-12-4 for 30 points. And then the Buffalo Sabres are 12-14-4 for 28 points. Currently in the Eastern Conference, the Capitals lead the division with 39 points. Right behind them are the Hurricanes with 38, and the Islanders have 37 before you see the Lightning and Bruins, Penguins, Flyers, and Red Wings popping in with 36 and 35 points to get things muddied. At the moment, the Red Wings have themselves a spot as a top three in the Atlantic Division. So if they can remain where they are, they're going to be in the playoffs. And then the wild card currently belongs to the Penguins and Flyers, which the Red Wings are right on par with them as well. So the Red Wings in a good space at the moment as they look to make things happen and continue their winning ways. Dylan Larkin leads the team with 16 goals, 4 on the power play on 96 shots. Lucas Raymond has 22 assists, 8 on the power play, a plus minus of 6. Dylan Larkin still leads the team, 32 points, split down the middle with 16 goals and 16 assists. The team has 3.10 goals per game. They give up 3.33 per game for 25th in the league. They're 7th on the power play at 24%, and 79% of the power kill gives them, or penalty kill, excuse me, gives them 23rd in the league. Their goaltending, 3.01 for Cam Talbot is what he's given up on 45 goals against his save percentage, 0.884. That's on 388 shots as he has 343 saves. He has 9 wins on the year as well to lead all goalie statistical categories for the Red Wings. Gibson got a shutout against the Canucks, though. He was the one in net who made 39 saves for his first NHL shutout in almost 3 years. So they took them down on Monday night as they look to keep their trends rolling. Currently on a 2-game win streak. What they have coming up for them over the next week. As I mentioned, well, we weren't able to record after their loss to Calgary. Oh, loss. Wow. I don't want to put that out there. After their game against Calgary that is on the road, as they're currently on this road trip, they're 2-1 on this road trip. They lost to Columbus to open it up, but they beat Seattle on the road, beat Vancouver on the road. They're now going to play Calgary on the road before hitting Edmonton on Thursday, and then Chicago on the road on Saturday. And then they finally get to come back home, who they play on Tuesday, the New York Islanders, Wednesday against the Utah Mammoth. And then you have Washington coming up Saturday, Sunday in a back-to-back. So if they're able to win a couple of those games, they're going to find themselves in great position, especially if they're able to steal one or two from Washington, who currently leads the entire Eastern Conference. Red Wings and Pistons have their work cut out for them, but their seasons are looking great to start so far. When we come back from the break, we're getting into our picks, but that's with more Mid Madness on 95.3 The Ticket. Back in the Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to get into the picks. One of my favorite parts of the show. We line up a bunch of games happening for the weekend, and then I make my picks after deliberating, talking about them, and deciding which team is better and is going to come out with the win. The good thing is you can play right along with me. Use the chat feature in the Ticket app. Listen to the picks. Listen to my deliberation. Do your own research, and then select the picks for yourself who you think will win, and then submit them to that chat feature, and let's see if you know ball better than I do. But as all of you know, I don't mean to toot my own horn or anything, but I know quite a bit of ball. Done a great job of holding on to my championship record all the time that Jacob was here. He didn't beat me at all. He did tie me one time, just once, but I did come out victorious 2 of those 3 times, and I've done quite well being solo. I know ball just a little bit. I just want to see if you know ball better than I do. So give those picks a run over in the chat feature. Speaking of knowing ball and picks, I did A-OK last week. I went 3-3 last week. Georgia took down Bama. Texas Tech took down BYU. Ohio State lost to Indiana. The Packers did beat the Bears. Eagles lost to the Chargers. And the Colts lost to the Jaguars. So that puts me at 3-3, bumps me up to 62-34 on this season of picks. And it's going to roll us right into another week where we have six more games loaded up for this week. We got one college football matchup. Then we got four NFL games sandwiched in between, as there is one college basketball game at the end of things to wrap it up. Now that we know what's about to happen, let's pop into the first game of the week. It is one of the biggest football games of the entire college football season every single year. The Army Black Knights will be taking on the Navy Midshipmen. They're traveling this year. The Midshipmen will be playing host at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore, Maryland. The Black Knights are 6-5, 4-4 in the American Conference. On the flip side, you got Army, who's 9-2. The Midshipmen are 7-1 in the American Conference. This is a 3 p.m. game on CBS. And for listening pleasure, it will be played here on 95.3 The Ticket. They're giving Army a 39.1% chance to come out victorious. Navy gets a 60.9% chance. Navy is a 6-point favorite. 38.5 on the over-under. Negative 245 on the money line for Navy, plus 200 for Army. Army has Cale Helms, who's 35-69 in the year. Three touchdowns, two interceptions for 504 passing yards. But on the ground, he's got 264 carries, 1,078 rushing yards, and 15 touchdowns. Brady Anderson, 12 receptions, two for touchdowns, 350 receiving yards. Eric Ford has four sacks, and Andon Thomas has 96 tackles. Army's 3-2 in their last five. 27-24 victory over UTSA. They lost to Tulsa by one, beat Temple and Air Force by 1-3 respectively, and lost to Tulane by seven. Meanwhile, Navy has Blake Horvath, who is 1,390 passing yards and 81 of 131 passing, nine touchdowns, five interceptions. He also has 174 carries for 1,040 yards and 14 touchdowns. And then Eli Heidenrich has 805 receiving yards on 40 receptions, four touchdowns. Landon Robinson, 6.5 sacks. And Mark Anthony Parker has 88 tackles. Navy is 3-2 in their last five as well. A loss to Notre Dame, 49-10. A loss to North Texas, 31-17. But took down Memphis, USF, and Florida Atlantic. I'm going with Navy because they have a more dynamic offense. They're putting up crazy numbers this year in terms of points and relative to Army. Army does still, you know, come out and put up a fight in this game every year. It's a rivalry game that it is. I think it will be closer than some people think. That 6-point spread might be in trouble, but I do have Navy coming out with the win. That's going to move us right into the NFL, and we're going to start with my favorite team. The Green Bay Packers are going on the road, take on the Denver Broncos. Green Bay is 9-3-1, 4-1-1 on the road. Denver 11-2, and they're still perfect 6-0 at home. Jordan Love versus Bo Nix, Josh Jacobs versus J.K. Dobbins, who's on the IR now. So they'll have a backup running back in for him. Romeo Doubs against Cortland Sutton. Micah Parsons does his thing with 12.5 sacks, who's tied with Nick Bonito. And then Edgerrin Cooper and Alex Singleton lead their teams in tackles. Broncos are 5-0 in their last five. The Packers are 4-1. That lone loss to the Eagles by three. This game's going to be close, giving the Packers a 52.9% chance to win, 46.7% chance for Denver. The Packers, 2.5-point favorites, negative 135 on the money line, plus 114 for Denver, 43.5 on the over-under, 425 on CBS Sunday. I got the Packers because when do I ever pick against the Packers? You're crazy if you think I'm going to take the Packers to lose this game. I like them spoiling things for Denver, making things muddy in the AFC, and continuing to solidify their spot in the playoffs in the NFC. Speaking of the AFC, we got an AFC matchup between the Bills and the Patriots, two of the better teams in the division or the conference and their division. The Bills are 9-4, 3-3 on the road. The Patriots are 11-2, 5-2 at home. 1 p.m. on CBS. 1.5-point favorites are the Bills. Negative 115 on the money line, negative 105 for the Patriots. 50.5 on the over under, 54.3% chance for Buffalo, 45.4 for New England. I don't know why I would want to pick Buffalo, who has struggled in their last couple of games. They're 3-5, losses to Houston and Miami, wins over Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Tampa Bay. Meanwhile, the Patriots are 5-0, wins over Atlanta, Tampa Bay, the Jets, the Giants, and the Bengals. So I like the Patriots here. Drake May and company have done an amazing job, and they will be at home at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. So I like them to continue their success, not only at home, but just in the year overall, looking to lock up a playoff spot in the AFC as they look to improve to 12-2 rather than 11-3. Give me the Patriots to beat the Bills. That's going to move us on back to the NFC, a game that a lot of fans here are going to be watching and having their eyes on for sure. The Detroit Lions are 8-5, 3-3 on the road, taking on the Los Angeles Rams, who are 10-3, 5-1 at home, 42.4% chance for Detroit, 57.3% for the Rams. 5.5-point favorites are the Rams. -245 on the money line, +200 for the Lions, 55.5 on the over-under. We know all the storylines. We know how pumped up this game is going to be. We know how filled SoFi Stadium in Inglewood is going to be. This game is going to be fun to watch. The Rams have one loss to Carolina by 3 in their last 5, and we know the ups and downs of the Lions' schedule over the last 5. As much as I want the Lions to win for the sake of all you fans and for the craziness in the NFC to continue and to keep pressure on the Packers so that they continue to play well, I'm not sure the Rams are the team that they will be able to beat. The Rams have been playing at an astronomical level on the defensive end, and that's what makes it so easy for them to win games. The Lions are going to have to come out and score a lot of points, and I'm not sure that they're going to be able to come out and score the amount of points that they need and get just enough stops to win this game. It may be closer than some people feel it should be, but I do have the Rams squeezing this one out and making it very tough for the Lions to make the playoffs moving forward. And once again, an uphill battle, but even a loss to the Rams does not put them out of contention. So keep that in the back of your minds. Our last NFL game is also in the NFC. Well, it's an interconference matchup, actually. An AFC team, the Indianapolis Colts, 8-5. They're 2-4 on the road, traveling to take on the Seattle Seahawks, 10-3, 4-2 at home, 425 on CBS. The Seattle Seahawks are 71.5% favorites on the matchup predictor, 28.3% for Indiana. 13.5-point favorites are the Seahawks, -950 on the money line, +625 for the Colts, 42.5 on the over-under. Sam Darnold has been great, but with Daniel Jones going on the IR, they're bringing in Phillip Rivers. 44-year-old Phillip Rivers is going to sign and play for the Colts as they have those quarterback issues. So an uphill battle for the Colts. I do think they'll still come in and make it a game because they have only given up 285 points per the whole game or the whole season. So they're doing well at keeping teams off of the board. They don't have any major injuries on that side of the ball. This game will be at Lumen Field in Seattle, so that will make it infinitely tougher for the Colts as well. So I don't see them coming out with a victory here, but I do see them kind of making it a game, and I would love to see what Phillip Rivers has in his first game back after a couple of years retired. But the Seahawks will, in my opinion, definitely come out with a victory in this game with no real skin off of their back. That gets us back onto the hardwood this week for the only basketball game we're going to do. It's going to be a ranked matchup. The CM Newton Classen is going to be at Legacy Arena at BJCC in Birmingham, Alabama, which basically makes it a home game for the Alabama Crimson Tide. The Arizona Wildcats are the number one team in the country, 8-0. Koa Pete averages 15.9 points per game, but LeBaron Phylon Jr. has 21.4 points per game. Toby Awaka has 10 rebounds per game. Amari Allen, 7.7. Jaden Bradley averages 3.8 assists per game, while Phylon Jr. averages 5.4 assists per game to lead their teams. Alabama 4-1 in their last 5. Their lone loss to Gonzaga by 10. Arizona 5-0, and they've been running the table, not looking concerned in the least bit with their competition. This game will be later today, 9:30 p.m. on ESPN. They're giving Arizona a 63.7% chance to win. Alabama a 36.2% chance to win. Alabama averages 95.1 points per game. Arizona just 88.5. But you look at that opponent points per game, 67.1 for Arizona, 79.2 for Alabama. And that's the difference in the game. A couple more differences mixed in is Alabama has 6.2 blocks on the year, better than the 4.4 for Arizona. But Arizona has 8.4 steals in comparison to 7.8 for Alabama. They rebound about the same and assist about the same. Arizona, 8-game win streak. Alabama, 4. One of them is coming to an end, and in my opinion, it's going to be Alabama. So that gives me Navy, the Green Bay Packers, the Patriots, the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Arizona Wildcats to all win their games this weekend and to hopefully make me 6-0. What we have coming up on the ticket this weekend is we have the Army-Navy game, 3 p.m. later today, so you can check that out. We also have Sunday night football coming up tomorrow night. That is going to be between the Vikings and the Cowboys, and we have Monday night football with the Dolphins and the Steelers coming 8:15. So enjoy your weekend, have fun, and take in all the sports that you can. I'll be doing the same, and we'll get back with you with more sports and more Mid Madness next week on 95.3 The Ticket.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.